Hello, well, welcome back to Don't Mention the Fussball podcast. This is episode number 29. This is going to be a slightly different kind of episode from the normal kind of format. We've only got one match to talk about, and basically I'll be talking to myself on that one. But we've also got an interview with somebody from the campaign for a new pure football stadium. The campaign being called Blauweißes Stadion, which will be quite interesting. That'll form the second part of the podcast this time round. The game that we have to talk about this time is the one on Friday night against Dusseldorf. And we went into that one with a fairly sort of positive frame of mind, a little bit better than the last time we went back to the Olympiastadion, because we'd had the win first of all against Paderborn and then against Köln, which was very nice, particularly the second one. It also had a pretty good game with that, and it was an interesting game to look at in lots of ways. Very early on, we saw signs of Dilrosun doing his sort of trickery of dancing around defenders. And in this first instance, the case, the shot went over the bar. But you could see the skill of that player in being able to sort of skip around people, which was sort of quite nice to see. Not that long into the game, there was a possible penalty shout for Dusseldorf, where Maxi Mittelstädt went up against one of their players in the box. He was sort of close in behind him, and they sort of both ended up sort of going down together, more or less. But there did appear to be contact between sort of Maxi's knee and the back of the thigh of the opposing player. Might have been a bit soft had it been given, but it wasn't. Funkel, the Dusseldorf manager, didn't look too happy on the touchline from what we could see about that decision, especially in the light of what happened in the rest of the game. He probably was pretty unhappy. A little bit later, there was another penalty shout. This time it was given eventually. And this time the defending player was Boyata. Couldn't see it very clearly in the stadium, but looking at the replays and things later on, Boyata basically, his foot came right down on the lower ankle and top of the foot of the opposing player. Clear penalty. Can't really argue with that one at all. Again, it's not easy to see these things in real time. Certainly from the stadium. Watching it on TV with replays and things, you may be able to. But I can't really have any complaints about that as a penalty. And as I remember it, I think the penalty was taken, sort of slightly over to the left-hand side. Jahrstein went down to the right and bang, and it went. But the good thing from all that, if you can take a good thing from going a goal down, Hertha did not collapse. Throughout the whole match, really, they were pretty dominant, I thought, which was a really sort of a promising sign and some sort of good skill coming out. I think it was in about the 37th minute, thereabouts, something in that sort of order. Marius Wolf was on the right-hand side, and he put a crossover into the box that was absolutely pinpoint precision, straight to Ibisevic, who was running in there, who did really, really well to get his leg up and bang it straight in. On the volley, I think it was, which was, a great finish. He's a quality striker. Given the right kind of deliveries like that, he'll bang him in all day long. And good bit of skill from both players there, which was nice to see. A little bit on from that, there was another bit of trickery from Dilrosun. Dancing past a few defenders and had a dipping shot which went just over the bar. It was on the way down, but it didn't dip enough. He could have crossed to Wolf, who was in there in the box, chose not to. don't think Maris was very happy about that. He was gesticulating wildly after that shot. But hey, these things happen sometimes. So, you know, perhaps Dilrosun thinks he can do it every time. He can do it a lot of the time, but perhaps not every time. Now, what happened there next? Just before half time, actually, there was a chance for Dorido, who's been having a wonderful time recently, running down the right wing, down near the touchline, put a cross right over into the box, and it was interrupted by that man Dilrosun again, who was sort of, you know, running in from left to right, who, bang, put it straight in past the keeper, 2-1, not long before half time. So happy days. Crowd very happy, very positive. It was nice to see sort of had to pretty well dominating things through that game. A little bit of shame about the penalty and what might have been a penalty both being conceded, but we got away with it. So we 2-1 up, coming out. A little bit into half time, Dilrosun was taken off, and Dodi Lukubakio was put on. And then, you know, where one player went off, the other one came on and started taking on a similar kind of role in some ways, in that it was Dodi's turn to do a little bit of trickery, skipping past the defender, putting the ball through in between two defenders diving in from opposite directions. So the ball went through before they got through to it, and he just skipped over the top of the two of them. And as he was doing that, the ball ran through to Dorida, who was coming in on the right-hand side, and bang, 3-1. Thank you very much. Lots of happy people in the stadium. And it's worth mentioning, really, the remarkable time that's been happening over the last few games with Dorida, who, okay, hasn't scored a lot of goals, but he's done an awful lot of really good work in behind the scenes there. Dilrosun, I've already mentioned lots and lots of times, skipping around the place. Ibisevic sort of bang in sort of three goals in two games. Always nice to see. So things are looking a little bit up now. A couple of podcasts ago, it was all doom and gloom. But even then, we sort of said that with the games that were coming up, it could go either way. If we were to lose those, then confidence would just collapse, I think. Admittedly, they haven't been the strongest teams to play against, but we've won, and certainly in two cases, won pretty convincingly. So I think our tails are up. So we'll have to see how that unfolds with the games in the future. There's some more difficult opponents and things coming up. I mean, some of those games are quite winnable. Whether we will or not, time will tell. If the sort of current form of some of those key players keeps up, I have a fair degree of confidence, as much as any Hertha fan can have a fair degree of confidence, that we should be able to do it. And things will look up in the future. So that's enough of me rabbiting on about that game, which was a great one. I will say after the game, actually, not the actual football itself, but the atmosphere with some of the fans after that game, that there was a real buzz feeling. People, you know, quite often it's, you know, people are a little bit sort of on the gloomy side because we do mess up on you know, regular intervals. But on this occasion, even people that are sometimes a little bit sort of gloomy were really sort of buzzing. They were really sort of happy with the performance and how we sort of dominated the game. So that was a good thing to see. Now, that will move us on to the next segment that we're going to have, which is talking about a fan group campaign, which was mentioned sort of briefly in the last podcast, which is campaigning to make sure that Hertha have the right kind of stadium to sort of move into. It seems sort of that Hertha are quite determined to go ahead with a new stadium and move away from the Olympiastadion, unless something sort of very dramatic happens. So this campaign group is sort of stepping in, as you'll hear in a moment, to try to help sides, all the relevant parties get together. And we've got a short interview here with a member of that fan group that's sort of very actively involved in it. And she will explain some of the ins and outs of that group, and hopefully you'll find that informative. We'll soon see, and I'll just hand you over to that pre-recorded interview. Well, welcome to DMTF Podcast. Inês, my friend Inês.
Hi, Simon.
Hello. Now, we're here today to talk about the fan-based campaign, which is Blau-Weißes Stadion. Excuse my pronunciation. which is, it is a fan-based campaign. And I wanted to ask Inês what the aims of this campaign are. Enlighten us, please.
Right now, we have the problem that the Senat and Hertha BSC doesn't talk to each other. The talk goes right now through the media. They don't talk to each other.
So both sides talk to the press, but they don't actually sit around the same table.
Yeah, no. Right. And the situation got really bad in the last few months, so that no one, Senat or Hertha, cannot talk right now to each other. Our aim is it to get them back on a table, mm-hmm. To find a way that they can come back on the table without losing face.
Yes, yes. Pretty good objective in my mind. Yes, because we need to get this sorted out one way or the other, I think. Next question. As a fan campaign, who are you meeting with in Berlin?
First of all, I want to say I'm really sorry about my English, but I try my best.
I'll just interrupt there. It is going a lot better than it would be if it was in German. It would be very, very short.
Okay. We try. We met during the last weeks a lot of politicians, because at first we wanted to figure out how they think and what can we do that there's a way to go back to a conversation with Hertha. Mm-hmm. And we met a few guys from Hertha. Last week we had a meeting with Klaus Teichert. Klaus Teichert is the CEO of the stadium.
The new stadium project.
Yeah, yeah. Right. He has a lot of connections to the Senat because of his former life. He was the secretary of the finance minister a few years ago, and therefore he has not the best standing with actually Senat. And this is one reason, because it's not really easy to find a good conversation. Mm,
because that finance minister was not a popular character, I gather.
If you look from the view right now, from the view today, you could say that.
Yeah, so, yeah. So, that's, so somebody don't like talking to Is it Teichert?
Teichert.
Yes.
Klaus Teichert could be the right guy for this kind of job. But with his past, it's making it hard.
Yes, yes.
Not
yes.
making
he,
it
he
not
might
smooth.
Be technically good at doing that job, but his past has come back to haunt him.
Yeah.
Mm.
That sounds good.
It does sound good, yes. Has a good ring to it. So.
Yeah, and in Berlin, we have different districts. The Olympia Stadium belongs to the district Charlottenburg-Wilmersdorf.
Mm-hmm.
Every district has his, you could say, his own Senat, but on a smaller level.
It's a lower level, yes.
Lower level, yes. Yeah. And
so it's the equivalent of sort of like a borough council in London or something like that. It's like a district council.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because you need people who are taking care for the strict, the Senat is not interested in a single street.
No.
So the we talked to people from the district government.
Yes.
Because we want a ground in their district, and so they have to be on our side.
Yes, it's important to talk to all the sort of relevant parties, though, and so the local district is important to, as well as the overall Senate for Berlin.
Yeah. They have, unfortunately, they have some points which doesn't make it easy to find a way. So we have, you would say, built bridges.
Yes, yes.
That they come back to speak with each other.
I get the impression that the... a big part of the purpose of this campaign is to build bridges, but between all the interested parties.
If there would be a political will,
mm-hmm.
we had the stadium already.
Yes.
So we and our campaign tries to get this will.
Yes, yes. Important stuff. So you've met with, or will be meeting with the Senate for the whole of Berlin.
Yeah.
The Senate for Charlottenburg-Wilmersdorf, which is where the Olympiastadion is sort of based. Obviously, you've been talking to Hertha themselves, including the... CEO of the stadium project, this Klaus Teichert.
Yeah, we also Hertha has a room called Datenraum. This room has in this room you have can have a look to all contracts to all. Speak protocols.
So it's like an archive room where contracts and records and things are kept.
Records about the talkings between Senat and Hertha.
Right.
You can also find a plan about the finance, how Hertha is going to pay for the stadium.
It's important to be able to pay for it.
Yeah, this is really interesting because Hertha has made a plan how to pay for the stadium even if we go down. This plan.
No,
you have
don't.
to. you have to think about it, and you have to plan it.
I've been there twice before, and I didn't like it.
You have to plan it, because if things are going worse, you still have...
Of course.
You still need the money for it, and they calculated three times downs. And I really think that's a really conservative plan.
Yes.
But it is a good plan.
Yes.
We are not.
Well, that's comforting to know that they've made those plans. You plan for the worst, and hopefully it doesn't go that way. But at least you're covered.
Right. It's important to know that Hertha pays right now around 5 million euro per year, plus the cost for every match day, because we have to bring up the Hertha branding.
Yes, all the banners, the boards and things.
Everything.
Because... When you see the Olympiastadion when Hertha aren't playing, it's really bleak. It's
naked.
There's nothing there. There's no Hertha branding at all, and it looks empty somehow. But that's as a Hertha fan, so
And that's really expensive, and we have to do it to every match day. And it's getting even more expensive if we would play EuroLeague, because then we
have to do it again.
Yeah, and if you are
does the 5 million, does that include the rent for the training facilities
and the
amateur stadium?
No.
No.
they are on top of it. The training ground and the Geschäftsstelle.
Yeah, the sort of head offices of.
The head office, that's 2.7 million euro per year on top. The Senat wants a rent. From 15 million euro per year.
Gulp.
Yeah. When our contract ends in 2022, we have a contract right now which ends in 2022.
Gosh, that's not very far away.
No, right.
I thought something happened in 2025. No, that's when they wanted to build the stadium.
Yeah,
of course.
We wanted to open the stadium.
I'm a bit slow here, dear listener. It takes a while for me to catch up.
So, you can be sure that Hertha wanted the last time, the Senat wanted the last time already 50 million euro per year.
Right.
And then, but Hertha made them come down.
Yes.
So you can be sure in Berlin.
That's doubling the rent.
Yeah. Is it something like this? Even if not 50 million, but you can be sure it is higher than right now. And if you think 10 or 50 million euros per year and you do it mal 10 years,
yes.
115 million euro,
yes.
Plus cost for Hertha brandings every match day and so you have enough money
and the head office and the amateur stadium and the training facilities will be on top of that 15.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
So you have enough money to build your own stadium. So you have paid everything after 25 years. This is the plan to be done after 25 years.
With the meetings and things that you've had so far, how do people like what Blau-Weiss Stadion are doing? Do they appreciate your efforts?
Yeah. Especially fans are talking to us and tell us that's so great that you're doing it. We wish you luck for your fight, for our fight.
Yes.
We got the feeling in the last few days that the mood in the city changed. A few months ago, you only read no. Hertha Stadium, no. Meanwhile, you can read in media, there's not more any question if Hertha gets a new stadium. We are talking about where.
Yes.
So, yes. And I think...
There has been proposals about having it at Tegel when the airport there closes, if eventually Brandenburg Airport finally opens. That's a rubbish place. I cycled there yesterday, and that's a long cycle.
There will no way for Tegel.
No.
All the people who are working at the project Tegel told us, no, we are full, the plan is already finished, there's no place for Hertha in the stadium. And
with
also,
communication, you've got one U-Bahn, haven't you? That, and it's a nightmare.
That's no way you can tell the city that the city has have to spend hundreds of millions of euro to build transportation for Hertha.
I mean, the closest to the airport, there's a U-Bahn. Kaiser Jakob Platz, I think, is the closest one.
Yeah.
And even that's...
You have to make it longer, the line you have...
They're not going to do that.
Yeah. And also the Autobahn. Berlin has to spend much money to make Tegel work. And it doesn't make sense because it's a tax which you have to spend. And no one in Berlin would think it makes sense because in the Olympia Park you have everything already.
You do.
You don't have to spend any euro
when you go to a stadium, to make Hertha happy. When you go to a stadium where... you haven't got the same transport links that you've got at the Olympiastadion as it stands now. We're incredibly lucky here, having that enormous S-Bahn station.
Yeah.
Absolutely enormous, with trains shuttling backwards and forwards in Abtushbandau and down to Charlottenburg, and an U-Bahn, all within really easy walking distance. I mean, that could be the envy of the world, almost, to have... yeah, a stadium of that sort of size with those transport links. So if we could somehow build something in that area, that would be wonderful, in my opinion.
It's the only thing I think it makes sense.
Yeah.
If you ask me.
You've convinced me. Now you have to convince the Senate of Schlottenburg. Yeah.
So we spent a lot of time to meet people from the Senate, from the district, from Hertha. We made a lot of preparation because you have you have to learn a lot of things because everyone comes with arguments and then you have to find ways for these arguments. So we think already we all of us have a second job.
Yes.
Already. So and when we have.
I saw Ines coming back from the last game against Frankfurt on Friday night, and she was carrying this bag that was almost as big as her, that was filled with folders, and it was petition signings, wasn't it? It was.
Yeah. Yes.
It was. Yeah.
Yeah, and we will have a meeting with Mr. Geisel. Mr. Geisel is the sports minister mm-hmm. of Berlin, and we want to tell him, please give us a stadium so every one of us can go sleep
yes.
and have more private time again.
The petition, can people from outside Berlin sign that?
Yeah, but the problem is the sport minister is the sport minister of Berlin.
Yeah.
And I don't think he cares about Brandenburg. But that's a crazy thing, because Hertha has a lot of fans in Brandenburg.
Mm.
And they signed the petition already. And but all signs from outside Berlin count. But yeah. Only the Berlin.
I think one of the things that you have to sort of tick a box for was whether the stadium affects you directly, or whether it's you're just interested. I've forgotten how it was phrased now.
Yeah.
But, well, in my particular case, it very much affects me directly.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't want to go to a stadium that's, you know, out in the middle of
nowhere.
Yeah. Really.
And I think because it is bad for Hertha if they stay in Olympiastadion.
Mm.
And therefore I believe if it doesn't work in Berlin, if you don't get any ground in Berlin, I'm pretty sure they leave.
That's where they'll go.
They leave Berlin.
Into a field somewhere.
Yeah.
Mm. I don't want to see that happening. And I don't think many people do, really. But I suppose financially they're being forced into a corner, you would say in English. What can you do?
We're trying to get a way in. In the head of Mr. Geisel and get him back on a table.
Yeah. Well, I wish you every success.
Thanks.
So.
Our campaign is going to put all our stuff in English. In the next few days, we open English site of everything. Because we know we have a lot of fans. We have a lot of fans who comes from
yes.
England, like you, all the time.
England, and, America, Canada, all over the place, really.
Yeah, and we want them that they understand and. Our first aim was to get the fans. That was our first aim.
Yes.
Because without fans, you cannot do anything. And to get all of them, in our campaign, we have also fans who are against a new stadium. But you need them because...
I must confess that the Olympiastadion is an amazing stadium. It really is. And I do sort of love it dearly. But we don't fill it.
Yeah.
And the finance side of things, had to have to do something about that. That's just doesn't make any sense. So much as I love the Olympiastadion, yeah, I can really sort of see the argument. And it would be amazing, actually, because you know, even watching Hertha on the television from, you know, over in England, I mean, sometimes I'll tweet about it, in that our guys make a heck of a noise. They really do. You can hear that on the television, you know. You can hear the old songs and things going, and you can hear it really clearly. So having that inside,
we have a great cauldron.
What was it? Was it a witch's cauldron? It was called somewhere here. To have a stadium that hasn't got the open end at the marathon tour, got a roof all around, and it would be just so loud. It'd be amazing.
Yeah. All the other ultras, all the other Kurven.
Yes.
Of the other clubs.
Yes.
Talk about Hertha, and they say Hertha has a great curve.
Yes.
But you cannot really hear it because of the Olympia style.
In some ways, actually, I mean, if you're there, because, you know, I can see where you sit across the stadium, so it's and we're really quite close to it. But even with the away fans, and you know, when we go, you know, out and about, there's what, 4,000 or 5,000 Hertha fans, perhaps in another stadium. Like I say, you can hear it on the TV.
Yeah.
So, wow. Anyway, I'm getting all excited now.
Steil, nah, laut. It's like the yellow wall in Dortmund.
Dortmund, yeah.
Yeah, the new stadium shall be steil.
Oh, steep. Yeah, the stands will be steeper and closer to the pitch.
Steep.
Yes.
Close.
Yes.
Loud.
Loud. That's the objective.
Yeah.
Done. Well, thank you for speaking to us, Ines. Yes, a pleasure seeing you, as always. And I think that's a wrap.
It's just me back again. Well, I hope that was interesting and informative for our listener. It's a big deal for Hertha and indeed for Berlin as a whole. So we'll see how that unfolds in time. Naturally, we'll try and keep up to date with Blau-Weiß's Stadion. And I'll try and remember to put some links into the show notes to help people keep on top of that. Coming up in the future, we've got Wolfsburg away, and we've got Hoffenheim at home. I'll be sort of back in Berlin for that one, so hopefully that'll turn out well as well. Time will tell. If you want to follow us on the Twitter sphere, mine is econet1892, so that's econet1892. And the podcast one is DMTF Podcast, strangely enough. So I think that's it for now, and you'll hear me the next time. Bye.